Our reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. An amazing statement of who we are in God's sight. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, and to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father, Lord, we thank you for the word that's been prepared in Kate. Lord, we pray, Father, that it will touch our hearts and that it will bear fruit in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I am just a girl standing in front of a boy, asking him to love me. Do you recognize those words? Well, if you do, then they're from Notting Hill. Anna Scott stands in front of William Thackeray. She, the most famous, beautiful woman in the world, this global movie star, is asking him, a humble travel bookshop owner, to love her. How much must those words have been the words that William wanted her to say, that he longed for her to say to him? And I wonder, what words do you long for someone to speak to you? A couple of years ago, I completed a master's in biblical interpretation, and I rang my parents up to say that, yes, I had passed. And my mum said, Kate, we are so proud of you. And it absolutely floored me because I'd never heard either of my parents say it to me. I'm not saying they didn't think it and they probably thought that I obviously knew that they were proud of me, but it was the most beautiful moment for me because at that moment, it was exactly what I needed my parents to be saying to me. Well, this passage from Ephesians tonight tells us the words that God is speaking over us. It's a passage about what our identity is as believers and what God's plan is for us, a plan that began in eternity and stretches into eternity. And it's part of a new series that we're doing over the summer about big topics for believers. Because being a believer is not always easy. We may find that we struggle sometimes to believe the truths of the Bible, that we're children of God, that he loves us and knows us and wants a relationship with us. Hearing that may be a bit like I was as I drove round IKEA roundabout in Milton Keynes, amazed to hear my mum tell me that she was proud of me. Or maybe you're someone who struggles with a sense of worth in your Christian faith. Maybe that applies to other aspects of your life. You feel that your life isn't what it should be. Your faith isn't as good as you want it to be. It doesn't look the same as other people's. God feels distant and far away, and you wonder how on earth he could possibly love you. You think you could never be good enough for God. Well, if any of that resonates with you, however we are feeling, let these words of Ephesians chapter 1 wash over us. Let them renew us and restore us. Remind us of who we are as beloved children of God. Children chosen to know God since before the world began. This passage explores the blessings we have from knowing God. We've been chosen for holiness. We are God's sons and daughters. We've received redemption and forgiveness. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we have the hope of glory, which is shaped around an eternity in heaven. Our faith begins and ends in heaven. And it's based on a plan God made before the world began. A plan to bring us to heaven, where we can praise and glorify him. And this passage is called a doxology, which is a funny word that you may not have come across. The first time I came across it was in East of Eden and by John Steinbeck, when there's a horse that's called doxology. But a doxology is a formula of praise to God. And we can read this passage out and use it to praise God. It's a hymn about who he is, what he's done for us through every part of the Trinity. And repeated in it, it says to the praise of his glorious grace in verse 6. And in verse 14, to the praise of his glory. God's treatment of us like this glorifies God because it shows who God is and the depth of his character, which is love. And I have 3 points for us about what God is saying to each one of us who's here tonight or watching on the live stream. And the first one of these is, you are chosen. How long have you been a Christian for? I've always hated being asked that because I'm a cradle Christian who grew up in a Christian family, and I can't remember a time when I didn't know and love Jesus, when I didn't have a Christian faith. But now I say, Ephesians chapter 1, I've been a Christian since before the creation of the world. Because I have a faith which is anchored in eternity. Before the creation of the world, God knew that he wanted me to be his child. And what does he offer us if we know him in this faith? Well, he offers us the chance to be holy and blameless. And that means to be just like him. He chose us, not perfect people, not the perfect Christian who's ever lived, just you and me, ordinary people. He chose us to know him and to become holy through being his children. He hasn't chosen us because of who we are or because of the people that we'll become. He just chose us. And I've heard some people say that they like the idea of Christianity, but they could never be a Christian because they're not good enough. Well, I look at them and say, that is the whole point. That's the best bit. That's the distinction between Christianity and other faiths. In other faiths, heaven cannot be reached until perfection is found. But we are made holy and blameless through forgiveness. And not only that, But God offers us adoption as sons and daughters. And many of us will know someone who's adopted, or perhaps we've adopted ourselves, or we've known a family who've gone through the adoption process. I have a couple of friends who have gone through adoption because of infertility and the longing for a child. The desire to offer parenthood and a home to a child, which has been deeply profound. They've been praying, hoping, not daring to believe that one day a child could be theirs. And when that adoption happens, it's permanent. This isn't a relationship that they're going to walk away from. They are the parents. The child is the child, and there is security in that relationship. They know, the child knows, that whatever might come up, those parents will not abandon them. And this is how God thinks of us. We are his children, period. Think of the prodigal son, when he runs away and he squanders his wealth, and he's sitting there in the pigsty thinking, oh, I'll go back, but I can't possibly ask to be my father's son again. The best that I could be is a slave. But when that son comes back, the father's arms are open, because no matter how far we are from God, we are always his child. You are always God's child. We are chosen. We are loved. We are children of God. This is our worth as believers. And secondly, we are forgiven. Having established God's plan for eternity, we then learn how this is possible for us. How do we become his children? It happens through redemption, which is the forgiveness that we get through Jesus dying on the cross in our place. I had a friend at university. She came from a very Christian family. And when she brought her boyfriend to meet her grandparents, her grandfather said to her, "Have you been saved by the blood of the Lamb?" Which obviously was a slightly strange thing to say to someone who wasn't a believer. But the Son, God the Father and God the Son function together. They work together throughout the history of the world to bring us the forgiveness that we can have. So that in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. Because this forgiveness is lavished upon us. It's like this generous, humongous, great gift that God is giving us. In my last church, when we were defining what grace is, the vicar would shout out, "What do you want on your pudding, cream or custard?" And we'd all merrily shout, "Both," because that was the definition of what grace was. It's everything. It's all of God's gifts just given to us, which is so amazing. And let's remind us of what it is that God gives us through Jesus dying on the cross. We've been chosen. We're made holy. We're adopted. We're forgiven. We have the gift of the Spirit and the hope of heaven. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet, but if you're anything like me, I have the biggest eyes, and then I can't finish it. This is an all-you-can-eat buffet, but we can eat every single bit of it, because we get every single bit of it forever. Yeah, I like a lot of food analogies. And then finally, in verse 13, we are sealed. And I'll just read this verse out. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Well, what is a seal? I guess maybe you're a super fancy person and your family has its own seal that it stamps on letters. I don't have that, but it does seem kind of cool, doesn't it? That in the days of old, you'd write a letter and then you would fold it up and put the wax on and then put your seal on it. And it would be a sign that this message, this letter, came from this person. It's stamped on. Well, the seal of the Holy Spirit, it's a promise. It's a guarantee to us that all of these blessings are going to be ours forever. It's a daily reminder to us that God is living inside of us. And it shows that our faith is real, that we are a true believer. Because maybe sometimes in the everyday, we can lack assurance, and we can worry that the faith that we have committed our lives to isn't real, that it isn't true, that we're not saved, and that these blessings that we've talked about this evening are not really coming our way. And the Holy Spirit is inside of us as a seal from God, stamped on us, saying, yes, you are a believer. Your faith is real. I don't know what your relationship is like with the Holy Spirit, but, you know, sometimes I feel the Spirit saying something to me, or I feel the Spirit promising me something. And it's like a little reminder to me that of God being like, yes, Kate, I'm in you. I know you. I love you. So what have we seen in this beautiful passage? And I must say that actually this is one of my favorite passages from the Bible, because it is just so overwhelming, and we could have looked at just one of those things. What is it that we've seen? We've seen that if we know and love Jesus, then it means that we've been chosen by God since before the creation of the world to be his children. We know that all of our sins, past, present, future, are forgiven for us because Jesus died on the cross in our place. And if you have children, you may have said something to your children, which my parents said to me, which was, Kate, your life is never so bad that you can't come home. And if you feel at the moment that your relationship isn't quite as close with God as you want it to be, or you feel that something has happened that you feel that God can't forgive, then he can forgive it, and he wants you to have the assurance of your forgiveness. And finally, we've seen that we have this seal, we have this stamp of God in our hearts that can remind us that we know God, to give us the assurance of our faith. Well, how do you feel? Do you feel a bit overwhelmed of all these amazing things that we have as believers in God? Maybe you feel a bit like at the end of the buffet when you've maybe eaten a bit too much and you have to loosen your belt. Well, it's hard to handle, isn't it? But it's true. It's all true, and it's all wonderful. As the band come up to lead us in some worship, I'd really love to invite you to stand, because I want to speak these promises from God over you. And I really want you to think and to be praying, which one of these is the one that you find the hardest to remember? Which one of these is God saying to you, do you know what? Tomorrow morning when you wake up and you go and brush your teeth, why don't you look in the mirror and why don't you say this one as a reminder to yourself? And if you're not yet a believer in Jesus and you'd like to understand a bit more about these promises that God offers those who know or love him, then please do come and chat to me after the service. So let's close our eyes. Firstly, I want to remind you that you have been chosen for holiness. Secondly, I want you to hear from God that you are God's child. You have been adopted. You have been forgiven of everything. There is nothing that God cannot forgive if you come to Him and ask. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit as God's seal on your heart.